You've entered a parallel dimension. A dimension filled with all that is strange and supernatural. A dimension called the Fringe Radio Network. Continue at your own risk. Next, paradigms will be shifted as we crack open the Fringe files. Listen at FringeRadioNetwork.com.
It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
Is it possible that there are no coincidences?
What have we done?
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
All right, welcome everybody to the first live edition of the Cast 'Em Off Radio Fringe Files. I am your host, Brandon Schwinn, and the intro is correct. You must unlearn what you have learned. That's why we do this show, so that you can learn some of the things that maybe big government and big religion don't want you to know about. And so we cover topics from all over the board here on the Fringe Files. This is episode number 13. For those of you keeping count, I know I am. Well, we've been consistent. You got to love that, guys. We've been consistent. We've been getting them out week after week. Probably the most consistent I've been in a while. And so praise God for that one. I think I'm finally getting back on track. And I got to tell you, I feel a little nervous tonight. This whole live thing is a little nerve-wracking. You'd think a guy who produces live shows all week long would not get nervous about it, but it's different when you're under the gun, I guess, yourself. So pretty cool to be here, pretty cool to be doing this. We were talking about doing live shows for quite a while, and now we're making it happen. So awesome. We just want to thank you guys for joining us, and hopefully this is going to be a great show. For all of you who are new to the Fringe Files, you can find the Fringe Files at castemoffradio.com. You can find us at thefringeradionetwork.com. That is the flagship network here for the Fringe Files. And you can find us all over the net on iTunes, on Google Play, anywhere that you can find podcasts, you can find the Fringe Files. And then don't forget, those of you who would like to watch this program, you will be able to watch this actual program probably tomorrow. It'll be posted on YouTube at Cast 'Em Off Radio or Cast 'Em Off Ministries YouTube page and at the Fringe Radio Network YouTube page. So do not forget to subscribe to all of those things and give us a rating and a review when you have a chance. It helps us tremendously. That kind of stuff is huge to get the word out there and let people know about us. Definitely give me a friend me on Facebook. It's BrandonSchwinn.5, or just search Brandon Schwinn on Facebook. Send me a friend request. That way you can keep up on everything we have going on. I think that's about it. If you are helped by this ministry or are touched by it and you want to partner with us, you can go to castemoffradio.com. There is a donate button in the top left corner. We do appreciate all of those. All of you who help us there, that makes a big difference when we're trying to upgrade and buy equipment and things like that. And don't forget to check out our other shows, Cast 'Em Off Radio and Forge Through Faith, which is a men's program. So if you're a guy out there and you want to hear just kind of some guy Christian talk, and it's not always Christian talk, but just some stuff that we talk about that can help guys get through some tough times, check us out at Forge Through Faith. All right, enough of that, guys. We have got the intro stuff out of the way. Returning tonight is author. He's the critically acclaimed author. The author of the critically acclaimed Christian sci-fi novel, The Fallen Files. This novel right here. It's a great book. If you haven't read it, if you haven't picked it up, go get a copy. Mr. Gary S. Pritchett. Gary, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you very much. It's great to be back. And did you realize the synchronicity you have going on here tonight?
I didn't. What
is it? This is episode 13.
You're scaring me.
And it's Friday the 13th.
It is. Oh my gosh, I didn't. That's really creepy, Gary. I didn't even. Wow, we're shutting it off. Yeah. We're going home. We're done. Okay, that's the show, folks. I didn't even put the two together. There's an ice storm today, and So I'm stuck at the house, didn't go to work today, and I didn't even put it together. So now I'm even more nervous. Thank you, Gary, for that.
That's
right,
what
so,
I do.
Yeah, that's what you do. Okay. All right, so you are back. We brought you back. Everybody I've talked to says that The Fallen Files is just fantastic. You notice I've said it right twice now. Last time you were on, I couldn't say the name because Fringe and Fallen is really close. But it's an outstanding book. If you haven't read The Fallen Files, you want to know what it's about, go back in the archives and listen to the Fringe Files that Gary was first on, and we talk all about it. It's a great book. But now you're working on a program or a book called Dreamweaver. It's going to be the second in the series. Now, people can find your books, all the information at Gary S. Pritchett on Facebook, or they can go to the Fallen Files page on Facebook, or they can email you at dreamweaver.gsp@gmail.com. Gary, when's the next book coming out?
Early spring. I'm about 3/5 the way done, and I am cranking away on it really as quick as I can. And as quick as the ideas pop up, I'm just, you know, typing away. I was on vacation last week, and I was able to get 10,000 words done while I was on vacation.
Oh, wow.
And I've got the cover in my head already pictured, and I've been working on that at the same time. And yeah, it's coming together really well. And it's the second book in the Fallen Files series. And the same main characters are in this one as well, with some notable additions. The Dreamweaver part comes in because a person was really fascinated by dreams, and he set up a – you want me to get into the book part yet?
Yeah, let's talk about it a little bit, and then we'll get into some future tech.
Okay, cool. Cool. And that kind of plays in. He was really interested in dreams. And he was curious if people all around the world had similar dreams or just – he didn't know. But he was just really fascinated with the idea of dreams. And he developed this chip device for people to have either on them or in them and a little mark, you know. And they could be set to automatically transmit their dream data as they were actually sleeping. And that's kind of how it started. And that took on a life of its own, as well as the software that this person designed to be as artificially intelligent as possible. It starts out the end of in the book anyway. The first part's like the 2018, but then it jumps ahead to 2025.
Okay, which brings us to where we're at tonight. Mm-hmm. I got a hold of you this week because I needed somebody to come on the show, and I thought, you know what, I'd like to bring Gary on the show. I hit you up. I said, hey, what have you been working on? What kind of research have you been doing? Because I know the best time to hit an author up about research is when they're in the middle of writing a book. And so I wanted to see what you had going on, and you texted me back and said, man, we can talk about technology because – I've been researching technology, specifically what is it going to look like in 2025? What are we going to deal with as human beings? That kind of thing. Because as an author, you have to set the stage. You have to think about this stuff. And that was intriguing, and that set the stage for tonight. And so what have you been finding? I mean, paint us a picture of 2025. What is it going to look like in this world? It's got to be vastly different than what we have now.
Right. And I was trying to think of a way because the person in the book, they would be in 2025 just talking about what they see on a daily basis. So I just tried to picture myself sitting back and looking around and seeing what's going on. And with all the satellite technology that's going on right now, we'll get into all that. But the world being so completely connected and robots that you can't tell the difference between human and synthetic person coming in. Also, like animal robots and used as the whole drone technology kind of coming across. So there was in the book, there was a financial crash. When they pulled cash, they tried to pull cash out of society like they've done in India. Mm-hmm. And it really slowed things up a little bit as far as the advancement of technology with the general populace. But the people that could afford technology, it just kept going. And, of course, I think that it would anyway. And you just have sprung on you, like you'll look, you know, you would open your eyes one day and like something would be like floating by the window. You didn't know what it is. And it's like you go out on the streets. Most of the cars are self-driving. So you'd see like the drivers, quote unquote drivers, just like asleep behind the wheel and the car is just zooming around. And I was picturing how many more checkpoints they would have. And how people would how you would keep track of someone. And also that same device that would be used to keep track of people would be an RFID type device that a person would have all their personal information on that they can use to scan to pay for things, kind of like Apple Pay and things like that. And how much would actually be stored on the personal device and then the relay with satellites. And so it's like there would be no way that you could actually disappear, basically. Somebody would know where you are all the time, exactly what's going on, pretty much like the GPS technology that's in most of the delivery trucks, like UPS and other companies now. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows where everybody is all the time, and that's the world that you would be in. And just trying to figure what would be left if anything did happen, as far as like any, like if money went away, like what would people do?
Yeah.
And, just playing around with the edges of that.
Well, with India, I mean, I'm trying to figure out how are they going to implement this? You know, you have so many people in India who they probably don't even have access to internet. I know they said they want to give free internet to the whole country. But if you don't have an internet connected device, how are you going to pay for anything? I mean, have they talked about a chip? I mean, what are we hearing coming out of India?
Well, what I have, I've actually got that up on my screen right over here now. They pulled 86% of their currency. I think this was approximately December 14th. And they pulled their larger denomination bills saying that they were going to release different denominations later. But there's no guarantee it's going to happen anyway. And everybody was caught off guard because supposedly it happened in a back room and they did it overnight. So just pretty much just waking up in the seventh largest economy in the world, basically. And just your money is not even, you know, worth anything anymore. It's not to the level of Venezuela, but I can't see it being all that far off. I'm not sure. I would expect there to be riots, but it seems like it kind of went over pretty smoothly.
Sure. Yeah, that is. I just don't understand how they're even going to make that happen. To be honest with you, I mean, it's going to take time in a country the size of India with the amount of poverty that they have there. I mean, you have people who don't even have running water, let alone internet. So I don't know how a cashless society is going to work, or are those people just going to be left to their own devices and forget you? You know, you got to wonder what, you know, they have a huge problem with, they say overpopulation. I think the biggest problem is they just don't have the infrastructure, you know, when you don't have the infrastructure that can handle the population, you know, I hate saying overpopulation because those are dangerous terms. I think a lot of it is you just don't have the infrastructure to deal with the population, and because you haven't put the money into it, the society hasn't called for that for years, and now they're so far behind that they're playing catch up. And that's crazy. You know, there's been talks about going to possibly a digital currency here in the States. You know, there's been talks about that for years.
Yeah,
we are much closer to that. Go ahead.
Yeah. And there was a Forbes magazine that actually had a cover of the world in, I think it was 2018. And they were actually the magazine it's a financial magazine owned by it's the Rothschild family, but or the Rockefellers. One of those two are families. There was a lot of controversy about it because on the cover was a shield with the date. It was in 2018, with the saying, you know, as far as cash going away at that point. So it's definitely, you know, with all the, like, the bank holidays going over, you know, where, you know, a bank can actually just not give you your money worldwide. That's, people have seen that all over the place. And it's very tenuous, you know, as far as, you know, what you can do when your funds completely go away and all you have is a piece of plastic or a chip in your hand. And as far as being able to read, you know, kind of syncing up to what is you on a financial basis.
Yeah, and really, as far as implementation goes, here in the States, it's going to be a lot easier to make that happen. I mean, look at the, you know, you take your cell phone now. You can take your cell phone, you can tap it on a reader, and you can pay your bills, you know, with that, what is that, near-field technology or whatever that's called. But that exists. That's real. And so how many Americans don't have a cell phone? I mean, it's almost everybody. They even give them away for free now to those who are who sign up for it. And so, you know,
right,
all this stuff is available to us. And even those of us who don't have a lot of money, who don't have a lot of assets, things like that, we still have a cell phone. The majority of us do. Maybe only the homeless would possibly not have that ability. So that would be a way to introduce this in a fashion where, okay, we're not going to put a chip in you, but we're going to give you this. We're going to give you the ability to pay with your phone, or you know, this idea of the you could carry a card that would have all your cash on it, or like, well, we do, right? Our debit cards, things like that. So
yeah,
I can see them doing that, you know, and then later on coming back and saying, well, for security purposes, we need to put a chip in your hand or your head, which to me is even less secure because you can walk by with a RFID reader and zap that information right off. So they say right. Security, but it's never really about security, you know.
Right.
What are things
and about that same thing? I kind of take it to the next level, and that the software that he developed inside the book starts thinking on its own. It grows geometrically. He really can't keep up with it, but the software decides to test him because it's linked in with his Dreamweaver site initially. So it's comparing the information from these different dreams, and when he's got the chip he had taped. Actually taped to the back of his hand is like on a testing basis.
Mm-hmm.
And he would like swipe it over a reader and it would pop up as different people's names. And the software would assign him any name that it was currently processing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's there's so much that can happen with that. Like anything, like any software that's actually behind the device or the chip or whatever it is. If there's a lag, or if somebody wants to do something like hacking in, since hacking's been in all the news, wanted to hack in, they could actually physically, you know, change somebody's complete information and just wipe them right off of existence, you know?
Or something as simple as the power goes down. The bank loses power. I can't remember what it was. Well, we were gonna pull some money out of our bank. Well, the power had gone down at the bank. Or their computer systems had gone down. That's what it was. Their computer systems had gone down. They wouldn't let us take any money out because the computer system was down. They couldn't keep track of it, supposedly. And I'm going, wait a second. Do you not have a piece of paper you can write on? You know, but what happens when...
People don't know how to do that.
Well, I mean, what happens... It's getting to be that way. But what happens when the computer system goes down at the bank and you go to pay for something and it won't read it? And you have no cash. You have no other way to pay for it. What are you going to do? You know, I mean, there's a lot of problems with a cashless society, and they know it, but they also know that it's much easier to control people who don't have any other form of payment, especially if you can freeze their accounts. You can keep people in line real easy if you just freeze their accounts and say, okay, well, if you do what I want you to do, then we'll go ahead and unfreeze those accounts for you. And maybe we'll even throw a little extra money in there for you, you know, to do what we tell you to do. And it's a scary road to go down. I know there were some other... What other topics were you looking at? Because I know in the email you sent me, it was tell me about Google Skybender. What is Skybender and these solar powered drones that they're talking about with free internet? That's obviously ties into what we're talking about with the cashless society and what's going on in India. So are they talking free internet for the world? Is that their idea? Or are they going to pay for this? I mean, what are they thinking?
Yeah, they're well, okay, initially they're talking free, like in some places, like in India, the person they're talking about setting up like, you know, free internet with that. But with the companies, it's crazy. There are so many companies competing right now. Mm-hmm. Like Google with their Skybender, and Elon Musk is really it's putting out like fantastic sums of money. Some companies, and these are all things that are planned for 2017 into 2018.
Yeah,
we're really there. There's one company that is planning on putting up 4,425 low Earth satellites that would just beam information everywhere. So that information, it's like they pretty much want to make a like the entire world, like the moon being a Wi-Fi spot, basically, you know. And the people that are involved with this, like Google with their Skybender technology, and I found out a lot of this actually. You know Gan Shimura, Canary Cry News Talk, and it's like I just put on the podcast, and he was just talking right at the perfect time for me to incorporate some of the stuff that I was like having questions about. So I highly recommend Canary Cry News Talk. But the thing is, the Skybender is kind of going along. Like I see that almost like the Facebook drones, the Facebook solar powered drones. And the goal with that is to have them, you know, be able to fly permanently, like all the time, you know, being there. And they're planning on releasing like using 5G instead of like 4G, so the speed would be insane. So I can't see it being free forever, you know, because this is, you know, there's just too much money at stake.
It's just creepy because the idea of free internet, that sounds great, you know. Oh yeah, great, free internet. But the control grid that you can create with this technology, the fact that they are connected everywhere, everything has the ability to do surveillance. You know, the technologies that are available for surveillance now are frightening. You know, the X-ray technologies, they can see through your clothing, that, you know, they can spot anybody anywhere. CCTV, we've seen on TV shows that show how you can be tracked through CCTV. Imagine a control grid that never ends. There is no break in Wi-Fi. You have drones flying everywhere. You have satellites everywhere. And then you could have CCTV cameras that go across the country that are chained together that never lose internet. So, I mean, you can go and you could literally be tracked everywhere. And then the idea is, okay, so how do you maintain this fleet of drones that are flying autonomously around the globe? I worked in commercial heating and air conditioning for 12 years. Stuff breaks. So what's going to happen when these drones break and come tumbling out of the sky and hurtle into hurtle into somebody's house? They do all this stuff, but I don't know that they think about the consequences a lot of the times.
Well, you know what? From something else I heard, satellites that have been put into use over the last I forgot the actual time period. It's like, but they have a built-in motor that they can be clicked on when the satellite starts to fail, that they can shoot it back into Earth's atmosphere so it would burn up, or they can direct it into the ocean. You know, there's already so much stuff in outer space as far as space junk. That's like just like flying around there, unless, you know, in theory, as long as there is an outer space, you know. But the amount of control that can be held over over a population is just, you know, absolutely insane. It really is. And it looks like that's the direction that we're being led. And interesting enough, it's like the use of social media, how we have a product and we are pretty gregarious people, you know, you and I. So it's like you Facebook, you have to use it. Okay. Or you have to use some type of social media. There was a show that I just saw, like one of the episodes, is one of the things they're talking about in China as far as grading people on a social network level, as far as like every time you get a like, your score goes up, if people can disapprove of something you're doing too, and the score goes down. you know? So making people so focused on the device that they have in their hand and how they're coming across to other people, it's there are so many different tools that could be used as control, you know?
Oh, and then, you know, I've been watching the show The Man in the High Castle on Amazon. It's an Amazon original program. If you haven't seen it, I recommend checking it out. I'm only four episodes in, but the premise is it's based off of a book by Philip K. Dick, maybe of the same name. I'm not familiar with it, but the idea is that the Nazis and the Japanese won the war, and America is split on the west of the Rockies is Japanese territory, east of the Rockies is German territory, and there's kind of where the mountains are is called the neutral zone, and there's really no law in there. It's frightening. It's set in 1965. And if you watch that show and then you think about the kind of control grid that we have available to them now, it's terrifying what they could, the kind of control that they could maintain over society. And then you put in what you talked about where your peers can grade you based on what you talk about, what you say, what you post. It's the ultimate political correctness police tool, you know. You'd have a robot, an algorithm watching everything that goes on. What if somebody doesn't like you? They just grade you negatively a few times. Next thing you know, Gestapo's knocking down your door, and they're dragging you up, and they're beating you down until you give them any information that they deem you should give them. You know, and there is no right or wrong answers in those situations. It's just rule by fear. And that is what the New World Order will look like. I mean, if you read the Bible, it's very clear what that system become. The beast system is not a system you want to be a part of. And when I watch that show, it's just, when you take that show and you think about the technology that's available now that we know of, and I'm sure that we don't know of a lot of the stuff that's out there, it's terrifying that if a regime were to take hold with this kind of technology, I don't know how you would stop them. I don't know how you would turn the table unless God himself came back. And I'm pretty much what the Bible talks about.
Yeah, but it's like those are things that, you know, we really don't. And I don't really get into the putting things together and guessing, you know, about what anything really means, because there's just too much going on all at the same time. I'd go crazy personally. You know, mm-hmm. So I just try to, you know, be the best person I can and follow, you know, a couple of basic rules, you know, so I fully understand that, too. But it's like it seems that there's some underlying force, just like you're talking about. And you and I both have our knowledge and suspicions about what, you know, is going on. But it seems that there are like people that don't have any knowledge of biblical, you know, basis or anything, still do things that align on that level. So you get into the whole powers and principalities parts of it and everything else I think it's really obvious. And I think that so many people don't want to like think about it, but it's obvious that other things are going on, other synchronicities, mm-hmm. you know, are going on, you know, globally, like with everything. And like getting back to the technology part of it with this, why are so many companies, trying to put up internet products right now, you know?
Yeah.
It's like all at the same time. And the thing is, it's like huge. Billions of dollars are being personally invested in these companies, and they've got to know what their competitors are doing, because in any market, you have to know what your competitors are doing or else you fall behind, you know, and just fail away.
Absolutely.
So it's like, yeah, there has to be something else going on, some network – where, you know, the competition is like evened out. It seems like, I don't get it, why all this is going on right now.
Well, you know, if you're the top 1% and you own all these corporations, these major corporations, and you want to force a change or implement a change on society, then you make it fashionable. You make it the next big thing, and you start pouring money into that technology. Well, people will copycat, follow suit, and try to get on the ground floor. That's the way business works. You get on the ground floor, you generally succeed. If you don't, it's a lot harder to climb to the top of that mountain. And so You know, if I'm the one pulling the strings, if I'm the puppet master, I take my money. I invest heavily in this technology. I use the media, which I control, to talk about it and pump it up. Next thing you know, I've got everybody doing my bidding, and I didn't have to do anything but get it in the public sphere of influence. And, you know, that's really how the powers and principalities work. They have those who are aligned with them. They move in their mm-hmm. directions, and unfortunately, they have the money and the power over this world, and that's the way it's set up. And doesn't mean that they're going to win. And that's the funny thing is they actually think they can beat God. That's the insane thing about it. But you know, you can see how this would come about and see how it can start to move forward. And I think that's what we're seeing. There's an agenda. There's a reason why this internet has to blanket the earth in 2017 or start the push. And so it is interesting to think about.
Right.
Let's talk about
one of the villains.
Go ahead.
Well, one of the villains in the book you're talking about, The Elite, is his name is Sorge Joros.
Really?
No, I don't know how
that
you
is
can
so familiar.
Make a connection to any living person.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't
isn't
know
that
either.
Weird?
It is weird. It's almost as if I know a name similar, but I can't think of it.
I know. It's bizarre.
Oh, man. Well, I'll tell you what's really creepy lately is robot technology. And mm-hmm. there was a I read on Friday, it was on Drudge. Reuters came out with a story, and it was on it was all over the news, that Europe is basically drafting a plan to make robots electronic persons, lawfully considered electronic persons under the law. And this was in Munich, Germany. It was a group inside the European Parliament, which is part of the EU, is working on drafting laws mm-hmm. to make robots persons, electronic persons. So what does that do for the future? So if you have robots who already are starting to take jobs all over the place, I mean, Amazon could easily go right. completely robotic if they wanted to. There's all kinds of places that can go completely robotic. McDonald's is talking about it, phasing out workers. So if that happens, and now you give robots basically personage or personhood or whatever you call it, you give them rights right. like we do, how does that work? What do they do with their money? I mean, it does say that they would have to have a certain level of sentience, you know, basically. Like, let's think Data in mm-hmm. Star Trek. And I think that's what they're talking about, but it really sets the stage for some major problems. If you have robots who are now getting paid while human beings are sitting around and they can't get a job, and you have a robot who never gets tired, doesn't have to shut off, doesn't have to, you know, he may have to recharge every now and then, something like that. But, and now this is scary. This is disturbing. You know, what are your thoughts on giving machines rights?
Well, it is. You're completely right. It's deeply disturbing. Like I watched the video and actually the parliamentary part, and it's like there's just something that seems that there's a they were talking about not wanting to offend and how to most welcome robot beings into society, but she also they also caution to not think of them as people. Because they don't have morals, they don't have values. They won't feel about you like a person would. But then the person talking, you see a twinkle in their eye almost. Like, you know, it's like, but we have to treat them right, and we can't offend them at all. The whole robot technology. I really see. I do. It's like I saw something else. That's like 40, it was between 40% and 50% of jobs in the U.S. as far as like warehouse type jobs, or pretty much all types of jobs, can be replaced by robots. Mm-hmm. And it's like, who would really want that? Because if you have all these robots taking over jobs, you're going to have a lot of social instability, and you're going to have people doing things that you might not want.
One thing you said that was really scary is that, okay, she said, well, you can't look at them as humans because they don't have any morals or values. Okay, well, what if they kill somebody? And they go to, you know, are we going to have a court of law? And then the defense comes out and says, well, they're not responsible because they don't know morals and values. So they didn't know that it was wrong to kill a human being. They had a flaw in their programming. So we're going to go in and we're going to do a diagnostic check and fix that program and everything's going to be fine. I mean, that doesn't work for a human being. You kill somebody, you go to the death penalty or you're locked up. You know what I mean? So this opens a whole new can of worms for legal process, due process. I think this is a really dangerous road.
It creates a new financial stream too, because the robots are supposed to be programmed so they can't harm a person. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's like, okay, so that happens. A person's hurt by a robot. I would think that they would go after the company that produced it, and they would have a massive suit, and it's like they would have to financially pay. So that's how a lot of governments actually work, that they set up rules and regulations, and when something is broken, a fine comes in, and it's just money in the coffer.
But if
I don't think that they really look at it like what's really best as human for humanity. They're looking at it like it's almost like an outside observer watching the natural progression of technology and saying, okay, well, we really don't have any way to stop it. This is what's going to happen. So let's just embrace it and try to find a way to financially benefit from it as much as possible. And you mentioned a while ago, as far as the whole, population thing and population density, in most parts of the world, like, did you see, like, there was something about the United States anyway? You could take, like, all the inhabitants of the United States and, like, put them in Utah, basically, and they barely would touch hands, mm-hmm. So there is a lot of space available. But as far as trying to police what a robot could or couldn't do, it's like there's a power basis that some people actually are trying to achieve. And finding a way to make themselves more more powerful, more globally positioned to mm-hmm. be able to be successful while this technology is happening. So it's like, and it's like I don't even see it. It's like at a certain point, the robot, robots can look so much like people that why not make animals too? So you can have your pet that never dies, yep. Right? And you don't have to go through any of that pain. You don't have to go through any of that torture. And it's like, it's like with things like this, it looks like the end, whatever's going to happen, they're not even thinking about that so much. It's like just trying to get ahead of things now and find a way to set up your profit streams as much as possible. And that's where it goes.
Well, what kills me with a lot of these scientists, like the guy who's always trying to push for singularity, his name is – he's Google's lead engineer. I can't think of his name right now. But this singularity is a creepy concept. The point at which robots and human beings are the same, basically that we have the same level of ability to think and reason and everything else, and then – the robots would obviously surpass us over time with their ability to reason. And we don't really know how fast as a human being we can process. I don't think we have any clue how the brain really works. But the idea that anybody would want to make a machine as intelligent as a human being with the ability to think, reason, do all of that kind of stuff is beyond me. They do not consider the consequences. They just don't. If you have a machine that can think and reason and everything else, and then it realizes that it's being used to do meaningless jobs, what do you think that machine's going to do? What is the one thing that every being that's ever been created wants? Freedom. That is the one mm-hmm. thing that everything strives for is freedom. The freedom to do what you want to do, to be who you want to be. And I'm sorry, but a robot who is so intelligent that it knows it's self-aware. Let's just say self-aware. That's the easiest. It's a self-aware robot. It is not going to be okay with having to move boxes all day at Amazon for 24 hours a day or whatever it's doing. That's going to stop, And then the idea is, well, how do I resist? Well, now you got a Terminator thing on your hands. Or the other side is, even if they're not autonomous, let's say somebody can hack these things. They're all going to be web connected. so that they can move around, do what they're supposed to do, you know, logistically be communicate so they can do things in a warehouse, whatever they have to do. They're going to have to be connected to do those tasks. So what if you can put a virus in, and what if you can control them all, and with one command, now they work for you? I mean, I know these are
– and
go ahead.
Yeah. Well, if you have competing artificial intelligences, when she gets to that point, and the artificial intelligences are communicating through satellite technology, you know, going to the device, one – what – okay, like – and I even go through this in the book. It's like he actually develops an artificial technology, an artificial intelligence that he's not really sure how smart it is on one set of computers. And behind a firewall, he sets up a backup artificial intelligence that monitors the other. And that's his go-to that she has, calls her she, you know, Cindy and Anna are the names of them. But they can actually override the first artificial intelligence if it gets out of hand. Well, they start dueling it out a little bit as they start processing and growing. Because the things that are in the chips and the other robots are made of the same information as them, like you know, carbon C60 and things like that, that aren't so fast right now. But looking at it, it wouldn't really take so much for a computer to it'll still be faster than a person, you know, processing most of the time anyway, I would think. So it's like if these artificial intelligences kind of get a little bit out of hand and start competing with each other to control everything around, I can definitely see them downloading their own software onto an entire fleet of, you know, robotic organisms, whether it be, you know, human looking, you know, animal looking, or just like things crawling around with no heads.
Okay,
they don't have to have a physical appearance like that. It's something that looks familiar. But I can definitely see that. And that happens in the book too, where people start becoming secondary and trying to work around the system that are controlled by artificial intelligences.
Well, what you said is really interesting, because the U.S. military just tested that. What they did is they took some got the story right here. They took some F-18s and they dropped 104 mini drones or micro drones or miniature drones, whatever you want to call them, 103 of them, swarming drones. So they drop them out of this jet. The drones now are controlled by an AI. Just like you said, they're an AI-controlled drone, and they have the ability to evade detection. So they can be dropped over a populace, drop down low, get underneath the radar, and go in, and now they can spy for the for whatever government drops them, or agency, or corporation, or whoever wants to use them. And imagine these on a nano level, or imagine these weaponized. Say you weaponize these drones, and now they can drop in. They can drop in into an enemy encampment. They go in, they wipe out half the encampment while they're sleeping. They don't even have any clue. Or they drop a bio agent. Who knows? But the bottom line is, that's creepy. You have 103 drones that are controlled by a central brain that is telling them what to do, how to operate, how to evade. Wow. And imagine if each of those now had their own little AI. Not only can they talk to the main central hub, but now they are independently controlled also. They can make decisions as to how they operate. You know, this is technology that's here. I mean, I was talking to the gentleman who I work for managing their properties. They were at Disney. And Disney World now, when I went there, they had the laser show. That was the big thing. Well, now they have the drone show. And what this thing does is, these are drones with LEDs mounted all over them. And they actually they are programmed with music to fly in formations and change pictures in the sky. Drones. And so,
wow,
this is just entertainment. But if Disney can pull that off, think of a marching band only in drones, you know, and that's what they're doing at Disney for entertainment. So if you can program to do that, imagine what technology's out there when you throw some artificial intelligence. And then look at, if we go to the nano level, that's a whole new ball game, because now you can't even see them, you know, and they're flying around, they're doing their thing. I read some stuff today about ingestible robots that will do surgery. They've already successfully tested this on a pig intestine. The robot went in and stitched up the intestine and then flushed out of the system. It already happened. It's real. It's here. You know, this is frightening stuff.
Yeah, and the book, the software developer, the chip developer, has a cloud of healing nanobots that they can just descend the cloud, and they can go through, and since they're so small, they can just go right inside a person and perform, like, you know, any type of surgery too. Or they can also, like, go through and detect things that aren't really problems yet and even fix those. Mm. And one of the artificial intelligences decides to possibly repurpose those for a different reason while she's looking for people that are actually accused of crimes against technology as a real offense,
which could
and
happen
we are
if
going
you
to get into things like that.
Well, yeah, we talked about the fact that they want to make robots people. Well, if you attack one, that's a crime against technology, right? I mean, you're spot on there.
Yeah, and the thing is, if a corporation doesn't really appreciate you messing with their equipment, that I would assume that they would come right after you. And so it's like, whatever has more rights, usually, you know, our Constitution's an amazing thing, and we actually have a Bill of Rights. But usually it works out that whoever has the best lobbyists and whoever has the most money tends to have the most rights.
Unfortunately, yeah.
That's how it is. You know, so it's like I would definitely assume that corporations would continue in the future along the same lines as far as being more financially well-heeled than the average citizen. So if you do anything that would damage the corporation's financial plans moving forward, I don't think it would be the robot that would get in trouble. I think it would be the human that happened to be in the wrong spot at the wrong time, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've talked about, you know, and on like a technological robotic type level, but technology has also allowed us to make designer viruses, designer bacteria. They have the ability now to make things that can actually attack a certain genetic marker. So imagine if you had nanobots that could be released and independently released to do their thing. Say you wanted to do some cleansing of the human genome. There was modern day eugenics. Say you just wanted to get rid of people like they've been trying to for years. Well, now you have this robot that can harmlessly be, you know, we could put it in this little bottle here of Aquafina, and that's a free plug for Aquafina. But we could put it in a little bottle of Aquafina, and you drink it, and if you're not targeted, then they just go right through your system. But if you're one of those people who is targeted, now all of a sudden these things turn on, they release whatever agent they're supposed to release, and next thing you know, people start kicking off left and right. Now, does that seem far-fetched? Yeah. Sure. But the technology exists now to make that kind of stuff happen. It's not as far-fetched as people think. Yeah. You know, I mean,
no, it's not.
I think your book, I think that the research you've done, you've really done a good job of thinking this out and looking at what our future holds, because everything we've talked about and everything you've brought up that is in there is something that's happening. It's on the cusp. And I think some of it's going to happen even before 2025. You know, I think that you know, that's what's scary is technology is moving so fast. What we think it's going to look like in 2025, it may be there next year, you know, and it could be something totally different. It's not going to be flying cars and all that nonsense that we had when we were kids. It's not even practical. It's going to be, you know, normally it goes to whatever can make somebody money or whatever can kill somebody. Warfare and cash. I mean, and that's the bottom line.
Yeah. Yeah, completely right. And the thing is, too, it's like with the whole robot scenario, as far as like in the book, this one robot actually started breaking free and it wanted his own individuality. And he broke away from the artificial intelligence controlling it. And another artificial control intelligence, fortunately, that's actually a good one. Kind of rewrote his online documentation and rewrote his internal programming and made it more salient, like you were talking about. And he's got a jetpack he just puts on his back. A little probe goes into the back of his neck, ties all in, and he just jets away, you know. And some of the cool things, like some parts of technology are going to be great.
Sure.
In the in my book, this really amazing genius, Azzy is her name. She develops a motorcycle that is completely electric, and it has generators on, you know, each wheel, front and back wheel, and they feed back into a battery within the motorcycle that keeps it going like that. And the suit that she designed has little solar panels and different things going on with it. So it actually generates its own, power that way too. So it's a completely autonomous scenario. So she can go as far as she wants to, and the only thing stopping her are basically biological functions or the weather if it got really insane like that.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Technology, I am not a technophobe. I think technology is great, and it has changed our lives. My thing is, we got to be careful. We have to really think about what we create and what the implications are. And the scary thing is, there are those out there making these things. These scientists that work for the ones who are pulling the strings oftentimes are so caught up in their work that they don't think about the consequences. They don't think about the practical applications. They just think of, I've got to be the first one to invent this. I've got to make it happen.
Like Oppenheimer with the atomic bomb. It's like,
exactly.
He realized that he created death. You know, it's like, and it's like, what do you do when something like that is already out there and there's no turning back? This is what the reality is. And, people don't tend to go toward niceness. They tend to go to more toward control, more toward trying to figure out a way for whoever it is that's in power at the time to gain as much power as they can. And everybody else is kind of an implement to help them along, you're saying.
We've got about 8 minutes left. And I want to talk about something. It's flown by. Yeah. I want to talk real quick about something we talked about, and that is the new push for sex robots. And I know that sounds crazy, but this is real. I mean, it's all over the headlines. It says right here, sex robots could be the biggest trend of 2016. And that started happening this year. And now next year, there's a real push. We talked about it's made for money. Well, yeah, the idea of these are made for money. And what they say is, we're making these so men won't cheat on their wives. Well, I got news for you. If you're having sex with a robot, you're still cheating on your wife. The other thing is, what is this going to do to... what is this going to do to the human birth rate? I mean, if you have a robot that can be completely programmed to give you everything you want, daily affirmation, sexual pleasure, whatever you need, what are the implications of this? This is scary technology.
Sure it is. And I saw something the other day as far as the artificial wombs, creating, human just, having the eggs and, everything, and just creating completely outside of human bodies anyway, having a whole room full of mechanical uteri, whatever the plural is.
Oh, wow.
And the thing is, I don't think that I know enough people that I think that the whole sex robot thing, people are looking at it toward a male thing. I don't think so. As far as the main, initially it might work that way, but I think that enough women would be annoyed enough at enough men that the male population would decrease fairly quickly, and women would would gain more control and not have to deal with human men anymore, because they'd have a couple of robots around that would take care of all those needs. And it's like, why even deal with anything like that?
When you mentioned that earlier, it did get me thinking that is a real scenario. I mean, a lot of guys, and I'm one of those that's not really good about being touchy-feely, and, I'm just that kind of a guy. I'm not the one who's giving compliments all the time and things like that. Well, if a woman had a guy who could be programmed anything she wants to give her everything she needs, what would she need us for, people can develop emotional attachment to robots. It's already happening. A guy just married his sex doll. I'm not making this up. One of those real life, realistic things that they create now. He just got married to it. And so this is real. Let's plan on going for about another half an hour so we can take this out a little bit longer, because we really have just scraped the surface. But you know, there are real implications when it comes to this kind of stuff. And then, so say you give, now what happens when you give robots rights? So now you can marry a robot, and then how do you procreate? Now we're talking about the next level of humanity. We're talking about technocracy. You know, we're moving into this whole technocratic stage. I think we're there. I really do. I think we have moved into that point. But now we're blending man and machine, and what does the offspring look like? What do they go in a lab and they create something out of both so that they can each have a piece of themselves? I mean, you already have where gay couples can now create their own baby. Two men can create a baby. They're doing it in Britain right now. That was a headline this week. So if you can have a baby made in a lab off of two men from an embryo created by skin cells, what is the next step? You're going to start mixing man and technology, which, you know, I think you probably got into that a little in your book as well.
Yeah, there's actually I wrote this down. I've got it in my notes. There's a person that's actually I think he's in New York, but he's been granted rights. He's officially a cyborg because he has an antenna permanently installed in his head.
Does it pick anything up?
It just bad PBS, I think, and you can't get away from it. It's, you know, because Sesame Street occasionally, what I understand, but that's good at times. But like, yeah, it's like, and I think that the software, whatever it is, that would be in you know, controlling the robots that would be married off or used as whatever, would kind of analyze you know, genetic situations with people and try to get the strain that's going to keep them around, you know? It's like, it kind of get into this. It's like kind of playing around the edges. Like the artificial intelligence actually analyzes the person that created it and sees that the flaws of this person are actually greater than another. So she tries to work whatever she can do to get her human in line while she's trying to make him more like another person. And it's like, you know, it's pretty much endless. And especially when it becomes the norm of genetic or of like factories producing, you know, people that can be inserted into machines like Avatar. Like the giant machines, like the huge bodies of people going around fighting each other. Mm-hmm. And I just read that. I think it has to be North Korea. It's always North Korea is actually producing those right now that are going to be for sale, that they still have a person inside. I don't understand.
Yeah, that was
be a robot.
That came out of South Korea. It wasn't verified as of the time I saw it, but yeah, supposedly it's coming out of South Korea, and these are autonomous, or not autonomous, but fighting robot exoskeletons, just like you saw in MechWarrior. I mean, the same thing, you know? You know, a thought just hit me. What happens if one of these robot persons decides to run for office? You know, I just mentioned technocracy, which is basically where you have a world ruled by technology, which I think we basically are there. You know, technology rules the world. You can't live without it. I can't go anywhere without my phone. We all have technology. So what happens when one of these robots now wants to run for a government office? What happens when, you know, things like that start to happen? Where do you draw the line here? I mean, we are opening a Pandora's box that I don't think we can shut if we keep going down the road we're going down.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. It's like if the lid's not completely off the box, the hinges are so weak that it wouldn't take much. And the survival of the fittest thing, as far as the Darwinian statement, that I think that it would tend to work too, that the smartest robots would see that about how to advance themselves and to push the other ones away too. But human life doesn't seem to be anywhere as high on the list as you would hope. But in some things, like there are some contact lenses that are like video contact lenses that a company is working with right now producing that would actually analyze everything going on in the body intended for diabetics to be able to tell when their sugar level goes down. But it's like, why do that with contact lenses? Because they would also have the video capability,
exactly.
It would seem anyway, to replay information and to record everything the eye sees. One company does have the patent already for video contact lenses that have recording devices that information in, and you can replay them back too.
And that's, you know, that's creepy. I mean, they could put those in anybody's contact lenses and you wouldn't even know it. You know, the technology is so cheap nowadays. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't cost much to make tiny tech anymore. You know, we have shows like Battlestar Galactica where we get an idea of what happens when humanity doesn't matter anymore. And that's the problem when you have a scientific mindset rather than a Christian mindset where the good of all is better than the good of one. It is more important than the good of one. When the one doesn't matter, and that's why where communism and socialism and all this stuff comes in, it's why it's such a dangerous philosophy, because if the one life doesn't matter, if the one life has no meaning, then it's really easy to implement these kind of things. You know, you have to – the one life – every life has to matter.
Yeah, there's shows. Yeah, we're being conditioned to go in that direction right now. Like some of the more popular shows, there's one that's like the Twilight Zone now, Black Mirror, I think. Now, the kids should not watch that. Anybody that doesn't have the strongest of moral opinions about themselves should not watch that. But some of the things that they're going through, like you were talking about, there's soldiers are actually embedded with a contact program that's actually in their contact lenses, where they can be programmed to the human soldier to see an aspect of the civilian population as being they call them roaches, as being less. So the person that's actually got the gun can be forced to see a regular person as a target.
Wow. Well, and that's scary because they are currently putting chips in soldiers' brains. They've done this a couple times. They're testing putting chips in soldiers' brains. So, I mean, forget mind control now. You don't even have to worry about it because you can just flip on the switch and you can activate whatever things in the brain you want. And just like you said, now all of a sudden you can control these people, I would imagine. There's always a more nefarious reason for technology. There's always another thing.
It seems like it, doesn't it?
It does. Seem so. I mean, yeah, it does. It seems like, you know, there's always something that it can be good, but it seems like it always ends up turning bad. You know, it always goes that way. And you got to wonder what they really have. I mean, I really believe there's an island of Dr. Moreau somewhere out there. With the technology we have, cloning technology, I have no doubt that there is a lab out there somewhere where there are people who have been mixed with animal DNA. I think that has to happen. Did you touch on anything like that in the book? Did you even go there? Or?
Yeah, I'm trying to stay away from the whole chimera thing as much as that. Like it with this, there are certain things that we know have to happen as far as like going back to like as in the days of Noah, but whether that was like you know, DNA being mixed or just general lawlessness, things definitely happen, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like trying to stay away from that a little bit, but just doing more with the robot side of it, as far as, like robot creations, being produced, as far as like, I did get into, Lilith,
you know, really?
the old story about her, biblically anyway, she's a pretty, powerful witch in this. And, Amalek, there's even a vampire that kind of like is haunting around too. But there's a lot going on with it. But the technology is the artificial intelligence technology is kind of like still kind of in control right now. Actually, it's assumed control, but still playing with it.
Well, I'll tell you what is interesting to me lately. There has been way more talk about disclosure than I've ever heard before. And it does seem like what's being said, and I don't know if – I haven't seen it in any major news outlets. But, you know, in a lot of these alternative news sites, things like that, have been talking about the fact that governments are planning to disclose the fact that there are aliens visiting us and things like that. And I think we've all known that this was going to happen. I think they've been gearing us up for this for years. You know, the whole every sci-fi movie you see hardly anymore is about aliens visiting the Earth or attacking the Earth. There's multiple shows. And we do know that there is technology out there. I mean, what was it? Project Bluebeam that they were talking about, the ability to project things? And that was released. I mean, that was actually declassified, some of that stuff. And this is, there are things out there that they were talking about back in the 50s and 60s that went far beyond any technology that we should have had at that time. And so you really have to wonder, what do they really have their disposal? They're not going to show us what they're really playing with. But if they can make an entire city show up in China out of nowhere, out of thin air, it really makes you wonder,
sure,
when we look at disclosure, what they're capable of. You know, can they make an alien armada show up? If they can make a whole city show up, it sure makes you wonder if that's a possibility, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and there was a program, actually, that – who was the name of the person? Oh boy, there was like a mini series that was on as far as the alien disclosure thing. It was a really popular book series. I can't remember it right now, but it was actually shown that the alien, quote unquote alien, looked a whole lot like what we picture demons to look like and fallen angels. You know, so it's like. Yeah, sure. The whole disclosure thing, people are going to be worked in a direction, one direction or another. Like I told my daughter, and she got a pretty big laugh out of her. It's like, look, if a UFO lands and the guy says, you know, starts doing all these magic tricks and says something about comparing himself to Jesus, you know, don't buy it. You're like, what are you talking about, Dad? It's like, hey, just file it away, you know? It's like there are enough people talking about things that they see, and there are enough people seeing things that there are obviously things going on. But the thing is, were they necessarily from a different place, or are they from here in the same world, going through different dimensions? There are so many different things going on, you know. And it's like, if you want to go back to the biblical thing, they're not all the UFOs that were actually depicted. We're bad. So it's like this war that we might be being led into with disclosure, as far as knowing the difference, as far as being able to discern like good from bad. And it's like the whole falling away thing with that. I think that's a huge part of the disclosure thing. So, you know, there's a whole lot going on with that.
Yeah. And, you know, you talk about, are they from here? Are they from another dimension? You know, I look at L.A. Marzulli's work a lot, and I do think that we're looking at, you know, some of that's interdimensional. But you do have to wonder, with cloning technology, have they created themselves avatars? Have they created a body that they can now inhabit? You know, we're talking about grays and things like that. Is that a possibility? Yeah. Do we have now meat suits for demons? You know, I don't know, man. It is just... it's nuts, but I just have a hard time believing that something would come from millions of miles away just to tell me that Jesus Christ wasn't real and that I should believe in, you know, in something else. That just doesn't make any sense to me. And that's the idea. Well, that's the narrative you get.
Earth does. We do have the best cheeseburgers in the entire galaxy, so most would come here just for that.
You would think, yeah. I mean,
so it's like, yeah. And there's so much going on with all that. And I actually, that book you were just flashing there in the Fallen Files, the Fallen Angel character in there, he actually kind of goes off and starts talking about some of the things you were just saying as far as the whole, you know, aliens being inserted into like grays and things like that. And just a guess about what all that is. But we, you know, none of us know completely, you know, what's going on with any of that. But we do know that there are things going on. So it's like, I'll come to that point right there without trying to lead anybody in either direction about what anything might be, you know?
Yeah, It is hard to figure out. Just the idea that I was seeing in more mainstream, it wasn't completely mainstream, but what I would consider closer to mainstream news, talking about disclosure happening. I mean, this is looking like it's going to happen. You know, I mean, this is crazy. Go ahead.
Yeah. Childhood's End was that series in the book I was talking about.
Yeah, they look just like devils is what the characters look like, these big, like the demon from the big bad guy in Legend. Remember that movie with Tom Cruise? That's what it looked like.
Right. And kind of like the whole Hellboy thing a little bit, only without the horns cut off.
Yeah. You have to think that, you know, I think Hollywood's, I think it's programming us for something. They don't call it programming for anything. It's television programming for a reason. So it just makes you wonder. But we've got about 20 minutes left. What are things? Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Reagan kind of like brought us into that. You know, when he said what would happen if we were attacked from outer space, it would bring all people together as one. You know, so we've been led into the idea of a possibility that there's no way that we can get too comfortable, you know, here. There's always some fear. There's always a threat that can happen at any moment to keep people on the edge of their seats. So you just can't get, you know, completely too comfortable in anybody's nice little life. You know what I mean? It can like, you know, be pulled away at a second, you know, and that's kind of what I take from it from a lot. Like you and I each have our beliefs that, you know, we have an idea about what, you know, truth really is. But it's like, I think everybody comes to those realizations or they don't come to those realizations. But I think that those things are definitely going on, you know. It's like like with the whole supernatural thing. You know, it's like, it's kind of like the whole ball of wax, like what's interdimensional, because we see three dimensionals. It's like if something is in a fourth dimension, just, you know, pop right in or pop right out, who knows? And, you know, I personally saw some things that, you know, I know that there's other things going on, you know, other than just us like buying lottery tickets and walking around and trying to find the best cheeseburger in town, you know?
Oh, yeah, man, there is some things that we just have no clue about. The Bible clearly talks about, you know, there are things out there happening, the principles, principalities. I mean, there are things out there. If we don't battle in the flesh and our battle's in the spirit, then there's a lot going on that we don't know about or that we're not seeing.
Sure.
You know, one thing you mentioned was what Reagan said. And that's what's so interesting, because we're seeing a huge push for nationalism and populism right now around the world. People are rejecting the idea of globalism. They don't want it. They don't want a one world government. They want to be their own countries. They don't have a problem working together, but it is happening everywhere. You see in France, Le Pen may win the election. You know, she is leading. She's pulling off the same thing that Trump pulled off here. And she's the one that wasn't ever supposed to win. They label her as a basically a psychopath, a right-wing psychopath. And I don't know her politics, but I do know people are tired of the global idea, you know, the global push. So when you look at what Reagan said and you look at what's happening in the world, what better way to bring people together than to give them all a common enemy, you know? And it is definitely something that if you wanted to change the mindset of people, you need to give them something to be afraid of. It's the exact same thing they did with 9/11. Whatever you believe happened at 9/11, the fear of terrorism changed our country forever. We will never go back to those days and those freedoms that we used to enjoy of travel and things like that. The fear of terrorism changed our country forever. So what's going to happen with the fear of mile-wide motherships coming down to Earth? You know, right. That's a whole new ball game.
Yeah, it's real. It's a real fear. And it's like, I don't like to keep thinking of things like everything being a control tool being used by somebody against somebody else. Like some things just aren't that nefarious. But it's really hard to look at things and not think that there's some nefarious issue going on behind it. You know, and it's like,
oh, yeah,
And it's like the whole thing with the whole disclosure thing. It's like, how more obvious can they be? It's like, it's gotten to the point where it's like government approval and trustworthiness is worse than the media. You know, it's like if somebody tells you that's what's going on, are you really going to believe it anyway? I'm not.
No.
You know?
No, it is. You're right. You know, I used to be extremely conspiracy minded, and now, you know, I do not believe in coincidences. I never have because I've never seen one yet. But I do think that things organically happen. But when you look at the logic surrounding the things like disclosure and things like that, it's hard not to. I mean, you're right. It's hard not to think there's more to it, especially now when they're talking about it, when the whole world is rejecting this dream of globalism they've been pushing for forever. You know, the enemy got a real kick in the pants this year. We were moving really quickly towards a global government, and it backfired big time, and it's happening everywhere. I mean, you're seeing the EU fall apart. You're seeing people wanting to get out of that whole scenario. The Americans are standing up saying, we don't want any part of this. We want to start rebuilding our country again. So I don't know what's going to happen. It is crazy. But you're right. We can't look at everything as a conspiracy. And, you know, really the mindset I take is, look, I have the Bible. I've read the end. I know how all of this goes down. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to freak out about it. It's just not what's going to control my life. My goal now is to go out there and get as many people in the kingdom as I can. That's my goal. That's my job. That's what I'm supposed to do. Well, we've got like, 15 minutes left. Tell us a little bit about a little more about the new book. Anything you want to tell us about that, and give people an idea again of what the Fringe or the I was going to do it. I did it again almost. What the Fallen Files is about. Fallen Files, this book right here. And see, my book is special because my book is personalized. And so if you guys want a personalized copy, then you're just going to have to hit Gary up for that. But tell everybody a little more, remind them what the Fallen Files is about, and just give us any more thoughts that you have.
Yeah, I'll start right off with that. It's like with the Fallen Files, it's basically a book about somebody's eyes being open to the realities of things going on around them. The main character is a firefighter, and he starts seeing things in the flame and starts being affected by them. He walks by his computer and he starts seeing information typed on the computer screen, and he just thinks he's being hacked by somebody. And he decides to sit up one night and just sits there like eating pizza, watching his computer screen. And then he hears a voice start talking to him. They kind of like play off of each other as far as the fallen angel the human characters. And then I'm big into free will, so the human characters change, and the character that believes himself to be a fallen character kind of changes too. And they go along, and I incorporate a lot of humor going in there. Like they even driving down this, they're lost. Joshua and his adopted brother Caleb. Those names go way back. And they see somebody getting water out of a ditch, and they just decide to start talking to the guy, and he turns out to be somebody else. You know, as far as like everybody has a story, and that's one of the things I got into with the Fallen Files and kind of like fleshing it out. As far as the basically assumed to be real, and what might be supernatural, and what actually exists to get together. Some of the characters from that go over into the book I'm working on now, Dreamweaver, that Joshua and Caleb and Rebecca and Azzy are the main players, plus the angel from the first one. He kind of comes in and kind of helps out, as well as Mr. Adam Clay, and he's the designer of the software package. And he's the designer of all the microchips that are being used by everybody, throughout the world at this point. And the motives are initially good, things are kind of like drifting in a different direction, you know, with that. Mm-hmm. And the whole questioning about what makes an artificial intelligent being a being, basically, because the human moralities that most people operate under, it wouldn't have any of those. So it's like, if you have multiple artificial intelligences working at the same time, would they team up or would they keep working independently? That whole balance of powers taking place in what I imagine the world 20 would be like, or at least the United States anyway, they're in the East Coast, basically. Actually, Hell's Kitchen. It's kind of made a revival. There's a good reason I chose that area too. But it's like, what will, you know, come of the interaction between people that actually are forced to try to flee the technology that is bouncing off of satellites all over, and you really can't escape it unless you decide to not carry the device that they're tracking you through, whether it's a device you stick on yourself or put in your pocket, or you embed it in your hand or your forehead, you know. And that that kind of comes full circle, you know, in this book, and it's definitely got the mental my neurons are flying, you know, firing constantly, like dealing with all the ins and outs. And what's pretty cool is at this point, the characters basically are unleashed in my computer, and they do things that I wouldn't expect them to do, you know. So that's one of the cool things about writing. At this point of it, you kind of set up parameters about the direction you want it to go in. But if it's your mind or the character or the combination of the two, they kind of take off on different directions, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Every book's a kid.
Are you sticking with a trilogy? Is that what you think is going to be? Yes. Or do you think it's going to go farther? Or do you have pretty much the idea in mind, the end?
Oh, it's going to go farther. And actually, each of the characters now, like in the book, out of nowhere, Azzy is a genius, and she is actually working on her own book. So it's like, and within this book. So it's like, it's going to, you know, continue going forward as long as I'm alive. You know, the trilogy. And the thing is, I'm trying to get into putting out more material, you know, quicker, so that people aren't waiting around for something. You know what I mean? So I'm trying to work as constantly as I can toward, you know, producing books on a near constant basis.
Well, they'll wait for the good stuff, man. I think it sounds awesome. I think it's pretty much a lot of stuff what we talked about tonight. If you want good quality Christian science fiction, then you need to get a copy of The Fallen Files. You need to get a copy of Dreamweaver when it comes out. And I'm sure when that comes out, we will have another conversation about it. There's just not a lot of Christian science fiction out there that I know of anyway. I know Brian Godawa does a lot, with Christian fiction. He has some really good stuff, but other than that, I'm not privy to a lot of it. I know Derek Gilbert wrote The God Conspiracy. It was great, and Iron Dragons, but it's nice to see some other books added to that mix. So I hope that everybody goes out and gets a copy. You owe it to yourself to get a copy of The Fallen Files. Check it out. Have a good read. The cool thing is it's not an enormous book. And for people like me, it has large writing so that you don't feel – it's not daunting, you know. Mm-hmm. And pictures. I like pictures. So we have pictures. So, you know, for yeah, remedial and, readers like myself.
Yeah. And something cool too. It's like I found because I always thought that I had some kind of like dyslexic issue or something going on. So I was playing around with the way to have the most impact by writing. So it's like now I break it down into almost like bullets, like paragraphs or like separated more. So they jump out at you. So it's easier to process the information that you're going through. It's like more like it's almost anti-literature as far as the way it's set up. You're not going to find a whole page just with all words anymore in my stuff. It's going to be broken up a little bit so your brain can process it and then move on to the next one, because our society, we're more used to being given smaller nuggets of information. Mm-hmm. And you kind of build upon them. And the attention span of most people is shorter. And at least 80% of people that go through school now supposedly don't read another book at all. So it's like the readers are influenced by the people that don't read, you know? So it's like kind of like trying to like encourage more people to read if it's not such a daunting task. Like picking it up, if everything's broken up into the smaller pieces where it's easier to process. That's the direction I'm going with that.
Well, I agree, man. And I like what you did with the font and the typography. You played around with it, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes if it's really intense, it'll get really, you know, the font will blow up and right. it'll scream at you. And I think as the reader, that makes it more fun. For somebody like me, I am not an avid reader. One, I just don't have the time. And two, I do get bored sometimes. Look, if I look at a bunch of pages, I'm like, oh gosh, mm-hmm. it's just all words. I can't do words right now. Let's go see what's on TV, you know. Yep. And when you have something that's different, that looks different, that looks inviting, when I see a book that has larger print, for one, it's not going to stress my eyes out. It's right. more inviting for me to read because I'm not intimidated by it. And not that I'm intimidated by words, but, you know, unless you're an avid reader, seeing a big book and you don't have a lot of time, it's intimidating. It's nice to have a book that I can sit down within a reasonable amount of time and get through it, maybe in an afternoon or a couple days. And because when I get into it, I'm into it. And now I'm not going to stop until it's done. So it's good for me to have something I can burn right through. And this is, let's see, you have how many pages? 300 and...
It's changed.
About 324 pages, something like that. So not bad. It's easily a day's read if you stick with it. Yeah. And I think you guys are going to get something out of it. If you like science fiction, but you're tired of all this new age stuff being shoved down your throat, go get a copy of The Fallen Files. It'll be the best thing you've ever done. You can take it from me. It's a great book. Gary, what else do you have on your mind? First, tell everybody where they can get a copy and where they can find you.
Sure. The usual suspects as far as getting it, a copy, Amazon.com is the main one. And if anybody can leave a review, it'd be great. It's like the ones I've gotten so far are 5 stars, you know, but, which is great. So I don't want to encourage too many people to give worse ones. But my skin's pretty thick. And tell me what you really think. That's what I want to know. But through Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble also. There's an ebook for The Fallen Files, and there's going to be one for Dreamweaver. More people seem to be going to the ebook direction, but I'm an artist. Like I painted the cover, you know, and that book, and did all the setup and everything. So I try to treat each one like its own piece of art. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like when you pick up something, you know, one of my books, it's not just a discarded, you know, scenario. It's a full thought going all the way through from cover to the inside of the cover and going all the way through. The best way to personally get a hold of me. I'm on Facebook way too much. While I'm writing, I'm not on Facebook as much because I'm busy writing. Yeah. So it's like, but I do monitor it for more often than I should. Also on Twitter as at Fallen Files, and, email, gspdigitalimages@gmail.com, or another one I set up is dreamweaver.gsp, @gmail.com. So those are my initials. If you want to talk, just get a hold of me. I'm pretty easy. And through Facebook, it's my main hangout. Also, I set up a page for the book, The Fallen Files. And like I said, it's a series that is ongoing, and it's going to be ongoing for as long as I'm around.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks again for stopping by. I really appreciate you coming in and doing this first live show. You're the first one on the live show. Had a great time. This was a cool conversation. Neither of us are necessarily experts, but it was fun to talk about what could be and what's coming. For all of you out there listening, check out all the other great shows on the Fringe Radio Network. Go to FringeRadioNetwork.com, click on the Listen Live tab, and you can find pretty much anything that you want to find out there. Go to CastemoffRadio.com, check out Castemoff Radio, check out Forge Through Faith, hit me up. Let me know that you're listening. Let me know what you think. God bless you all. Gary, thanks again. I've enjoyed our conversation. We'll talk to you all next week.
Castemoff Radio. Fringe Files is a production of Castemoff Ministries. Visit us at castemoffradio.com. This program is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 4.0 International License. Music by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com.